If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are worthy of our praise, and we come here to worship you. We come here to learn more about you. I pray that the words that will be spoken will be yours, and that you will clear our minds and our hearts and let us be focused on you, that we might learn more about you and more about how you want us to act and be and what you want us to do to glorify you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We are going to look at some parables that we know very well in chapter 15. There are three. There's the lost sheep, the lost coins, and the prodigal son. We're going to look at two of them today, and next week we're going to look at the prodigal son. But I wonder if maybe you might be like I and have missed something in these parables. We know them very well, but I miss something in all the years that I've been reading them. And it's really important to understand what these parables mean and what they're about. Chapter 15, look at verse 1. The tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus' teaching. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people and was eating with them. Oh my goodness. Now, it's hard for us to understand. There's a cultural difference here. But to be even seen with a notorious sinner, that's all of us. To be seen with them is something. To be eating with them, this is not possible. This caused a stir on the church gossip grapevine. Okay? Jesus was eating with sinners. Here's what I missed, and it's important. Look at verse 3. So he told them a story. Who's the them? He's talking to the sinners, but he's talking to the religious bunch. Okay? He told them a story. They were upset. They couldn't believe. The only way they knew he was eating with them is they're stalking him. Okay? They're stalking him. And so Jesus says, I got a story for y'all. Now he's talking to the people that are around the table with him, but the direction is this religious bunch, which when we get into it is going to give a whole different meaning to what this parable's about. So look at this. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully carries it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will carry it. He will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than the 99 who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So now remember, he's talking to the church people, okay? And he's telling them the sheep got astray and he went and found it. and brought it back, and that makes heaven rejoice. Here's the important thing about this. Okay? They had no concept of going to find lost sheep. They wouldn't even hang out with the sinners, much less talk to them. They wanted no part of it. Now, it's important to note these religious bunch, high and mighty in their starched robes, they would have seen a shepherd as well below their level of a stature. Yes, thank you. It would have been well below them. Okay, that's a second class citizen. Okay, so Jesus doesn't stop there though. He starts telling another parable. Look at it. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and her neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, the joy in the presence of God's angels is even more when one sinner repents. Now, he goes on to elaborate this thought of going out and finding lost. And he's talking to the religious bunch, and he's already served up to them the thought of a shepherd who is well below him. Okay? That's below their level. What did they think about women? Yes, they weren't even second-class citizens. They were property. Jesus is serving it up to them left and right because he wants them to understand something. Okay? Just because you sit in a church pew doesn't mean you're committed. It doesn't even mean you're a Christian. Jesus has got one purpose. One purpose. That's to find his lost. That's to find his lost. And what he's looking for from us is commitment. So I want you to think about this. Every one of us can sit in one of four chairs. You're there. You decide which one you're in. Okay? It's up to you. It's entirely up to you. God has given you complete free will. What he wants is everybody to be in this chair. Fully committed. Fully committed. What does that look like, though? Fully committed. Because the people that Jesus is talking to in this parable, they would tell you they're fully committed. They know the law. They know every person who missteps. They're watching everything. And Jesus is telling them, you're not in this chair. Well, what does it take to get in this chair? What is Jesus looking for? I want to take you to an Old Testament story. It's the story of King Asa. It's in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles verse 14 is where we're going to start. This king is fully committed. Okay? He knows his role, but his eyes are on God. Okay? And look with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. What takes place, or what we're about to look at, is that he's about to go into battle, and he's outnumbered. Big time outnumbered. Okay? This is the Pee Wee football team playing the Cowboys. Okay? They don't stand a chance, right? They're going to get slaughtered. They don't have a chance. So here's what Asa does. He prepares. He does everything he needs to do. He gets ready for the battle. And then look at verse 11, chapter 14. Then Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord God, for we trust in you alone, and it is your name that we have come up, that we have come against this vast horde. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Let me interpret that for you. God, we don't have a shot without you. We ain't moving till you say move. We're ready for the battle, but we don't have a shot. We're going to get obliterated. Look at verse 12. That's what Asa prayed. Here's what happened. The Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. That was a royal batuki kicking at the hands of God. Because Asa was sitting in that chair. He went into a battle. He didn't have a chance of winning it. And he said, God, what do you want? That's what it takes for you and I to sit in this chair. To get up every day and say, God, here I am. What do you want? What do you want me to do today? Now, you have to be careful, because you have to get back in that chair every day. Okay? Every day. Turn over to chapter 16. Asa has led his entire kingdom, his entire army, the way he did in chapter 14, every time. Okay? Now he's a little older. He's a little tireder. He's got more to lose now. His kingdom is vast. And he's in another battle. He's outnumbered again, as he always was. And he goes and hears that there's a battle, an enemy coming. Instead of getting in that chair and doing what he's always done, he decided to do something else. And he sent out an envoy to the enemy and said, how much will it take? How much can I pay you? Let's just make this go away. Look at verse 7 of 16. Hananiah the spear came to the king Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Syria instead of the Lord your God, you have missed your chance. Do you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and their vast army at the time you relied on God and handed them over to you? And then look at verse 9. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed. What a fool you've been. He decided he didn't have to be in this chair anymore. He would just sit back and take it easy. But you see, what God is saying in those parables and to you and I is He's searching for fully committed. It's easy to end up in this chair. A casual believer in Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's really no such thing as that. But there are people who show up and sit in pews like this and churches like this everywhere, every Sunday. They might even teach Sunday school. But they've never gotten out of that chair. You know what the scary thing is? You know what God says to them on judgment day? I never knew you. I never knew you. That's heartbreaking. Can you imagine spending your whole life thinking you're a Christian and find out you're not? Because the question is, what is Christianity? It's this. Being fully committed. Showing up for the battle every day and saying, God, I don't stand a chance without you. It's all yours. So, if you're fully committed, what are we supposed to be doing? It's looking for the people in this chair. Okay? The people in this chair are seeking Him. Sometimes they don't even know it. But His promise is, if you seek Me, what? You'll find Me. There are people who have been struggling with their salvation or lack of it and trying to understand what God's all about. The promise is they're going to find Him. They're the ones you've been praying for that you know are this close, and they've been this close forever. But they just don't quite get it. He promises they're going to find it. Because these people are looking for them. You just keep praying. You keep encouraging. You keep inviting. Because God wants everybody in this chair. And if you're in this chair, you're going to get to this one. But it's up to this bunch to encourage them and seek them. There's one more chair. You've met these. They're not interested. They're not interested. You know them. You've tried to talk to them. They may be in your family. They're not interested. Life is what it is. They've been hurt. They don't get it. They're not interested. So the question is, which chair are you in? You're in one of them. The parable talks about how heaven rejoices when this one is found. And the fact is that you and I, who are in this chair, our sole purpose is to be God's arms and legs and mouth to go get the lost sheep and the lost coins and bring them home to this chair. You can't find this from that chair. You're going to think, you're going to rationalize if you're in this chair. Oh, I did this, I did that, I should have done this, but they just wouldn't listen. This is where King Asa ended up when he started thinking about other things other than being fully committed. That means everything. Fully committed. Our parable is about how heaven rejoices when one of these come home. God wants all of us in this chair. That's where He wants us. And if you're in this room, my hope and my prayer is you're in this chair. And if you're in this chair and you ever wondered what's my purpose, it's really simple. When you get up in the morning, everything you do, everywhere you go, every step you take is with the underlying purpose of finding these people. I want you to think about that and watch this.
To the older.
take note that there are only chairs at the table if you're sitting in these two chairs. Today's invitation is an invitation. You're going to end up with one in a minute. Take it out, read it. Because it's a simple test that's going to tell you what chair you're sitting in. If you want to know. If you want to know what chair you're sitting in. So here's the test. If you're in this chair, you're going to take that invitation sometime before next Sunday, and you're going to go give it to somebody who's in one of these chairs. They might be in that chair, they might be in that chair, but you're going to give it to somebody who's not in this chair. Okay? If you're going to give it to somebody in this chair, you're not in this chair. You're in that chair. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Our purpose is to be God's arms and legs and mouths to go find these people. Okay? Imagine if you lost a coin of incredible value in the house. You would tear the house up looking for it. Imagine for a moment if you lost your cell phone. Y'all tear the house down. I gotta find it. I gotta find it. Where's it at? I just had it. This is a conversation my wife has every second of every day. Where's it at? I just had it. If you'll do that for a cell phone, what will you do for one of them? If you're in this chair, you're already doing it. Maybe you just need to be reminded. We should be at standing room only. If you're in this chair, I'm going to tell you something. You need to know it. You know what's going to happen with that invitation? A month from now, you're going to find it in your Bible. Maybe a year from now you'll find it in your Bible. And when you do, my prayer is that it will tell you you're not in that chair. There is no place at the table for people in this chair. And I don't want anybody in this room to be in this chair. God has something so incredible. Y'all know it. And when you come to this table, His table, as one of these, life is so good. And all the things that this world cares about, those people care about, you'll see and you know how worthless they are. These two chairs offer incredible freedom. And your purpose in this chair is to find them. So my prayer is that you're going to take that invitation and you're going to go give it to somebody. Stand with me and let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you that you provided a way for us. We're reminded in your scripture that your eyes are searching for us who are committed to you to be strengthened to go out and find your lost sheep and show them the way home and bring them back to your table. Father, we have an invitation in hand. I pray that everyone in this room walk out of here with someone in mind to give it to. Maybe they don't know yet. Maybe you're going to show them. But I pray that every one of these fall into somebody's hands that needs you. And my prayer is that you take us out of this room now, that we be foot soldiers for you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.